Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know, empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And never, never has that been more important than these days, how to really navigate the world of so much information, misinformation. And that's what I hope for you, and that's the intention of this show, is to really give you the best resources, the most truthful, accurate knowledge, so you can gain the wisdom and make the choices that suit you, your family, your community, and really allow us to understand what's going on so we know how to get to where we want to go the best way possible. Now, if you are listening for the very first time, I want to welcome you because I love having my community expand. And if you'd like to get all the archive shows, you have two ways to do that. You can like me on my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, or you can go to my website, which is drcherylselman.com, and opt in there. And either way, you will get all of the archive shows, not only from What Women Must Know, but also from the other program I do on Progressive Radio Network every Saturday, 11 a.m., called The Love Code, which is all about love. It's about our spiritual dimension of life, and we have many spiritual teachers and spiritual seekers and healers, and it's a very exciting show to keep you uplifted and inspired in this transformational journey that we are all on. So hope you'll be joining me there as well. So like me, What Women Must Know, or just opt in to drcherylselman.com. Love to have you part of this growing community. And today we're going to be talking about a subject that I am so interested in. I'm so thrilled that we have my guest, Ben Fuchs, with us today, because we're going to be talking about the truth about skincare products. And if there's one area that I think there is a tremendous amount of confusion, it has to do with what do we really need to know to support and regenerate our skin, and what's going on with moisturizers and eye treatments and this treatment and that treatment, and what's good and what's not good, what's working and what isn't. I think especially for the women, all of us listening who are spending a fortune on so many products, and we're still confused as ever. So this is what today's show is going to be all about. And I want to share a little bit about my guest, Ben Fuchs. Ben is a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, and cosmetic chemist who has been compounding custom medication, formulating nutritional and skincare products, and consulting with doctors and patients. He practices a registered pharmacist and consulting nutritionist for 35 years, and Ben is an accomplished speaker, and for the past 22 years has been lecturing nationwide on the importance of the strategic use of cosmetics and nutritional supplementation for healthy skin and bodies. Ben is recognized nationally for his work as the on-air pharmacist nutritionist host of the Bright Side radio program, and has been a guest on numerous alternative health radio programs. And it's great to welcome Ben back to the show. You've been on before, Ben, and it's great to have you back. So hello and welcome.
Thank you so much, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, you know, you are a bright spot in our lives, I have to say, because I think the world of cosmetics, and, you know, everyone is concerned about creating healthy skin and looking lovely and young and, you know, vibrant. You know, that's just a fact. I think it's probably a fact in most cultures anyway throughout time that
you know why?
To have
you know why?
Why? Tell me.
Evolutionary psychology. We are conditioned to look at each other's skin and assess each other's health. We're conditioned to assess people's health by their skin. And back in the day, back in the old days, if you weren't healthy, you got kicked out of the village. They threw you outside the walls, and you were left to die. So we're from an evolutionary biology standpoint, we're hardwired to, number one, judge each other's health by looking at them, and number two, to want to appear healthy to others. Secondly, for women, there's an added concern, and that is fertility. And another issue, you know, just like in the old days, you get thrown outside the village walls or the walls of the city, whatever it was, if you weren't healthy. For women, they would become less relevant if they weren't fertile. So women, from an evolutionary psychology and evolutionary biology perspective, are hardwired to want to look fertile and to want to look healthy. So we're driven by evolution, from evolutionary reasons, to want to have our skin look good. And unfortunately, that drive is manipulated by mendacious and sneaky and predatory businesses that take advantage of it, that want to leverage it. And that's why I always tell people that the best way to have your skin look good is to be healthy, because that's what we really want. That's what we're really looking for. We're judging others based on we're using the skin to assess people's health, and we want to appear healthy, not beautiful necessarily, but healthy. We've been told it's about wrinkles, but it's really about health. We've been told it's about things that you can use topical skincare products to get, but it's really about how healthy we are internally, and that we're looking to present to others, or that we're judging, or that we're making judgments on when we're looking at people.
And that's kind of a blinding flash of the obvious, isn't it? Although I think many people miss it. But, you know, the quality of your well-being and the state of your health is going to be reflected in, you know, in your skin, in your appearance.
I love how you said that. You said it's blindingly obvious, because it's obvious, but we're blind to it. It is obvious if you think about it. You know, if you have psoriasis, and it's even worse than that, Dr. Salmon. Listen, check this out. If you have psoriasis, eczema, hyperpigmentation, thinning skin, whatever, you have a health problem. That's true, and you got to address it through health strategies. But even more dramatically and profoundly important, this is really scary but very important to recognize, if you have the most superficial and cosmetic of chronic skin diseases or chronic skin health challenges, say dry skin or say melasma, you're on the road to cancer. You're on the road to heart disease. You're on the road towards internal health challenges that will have implications for your further quality of life as well as your longevity. And so when you don't correct them, when you don't use them as an opportunity to make adjustments, to make corrections on your internal milieu, not only are you not really doing anything to solve the problem, but you're missing an opportunity to save your life. Isn't that significant?
That's a rather profound statement, actually.
Right?
You know,
I think so.
Yeah, you know, it's putting it into context that we need to understand how the radiance that we exhibit comes from the radiance within. So it's always important, if we want to have healthy, vibrant skin, to be healthy and make the changes.
Yeah.
So I want to go into some of the myths, because you have been formulating skincare products. You lecture on this in the industry. You know, you've spent a good deal of your life really researching, investigating, and formulating. And I think let's start with the myths, because just from the brief conversation we've had, there are so many myths about what is really going to support our skin, at least what we apply topically.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many myths. You know, there's a lot of them, but the one that stands out the most and the most dramatic and the most interesting to me is what I call the myth of the moisturizer. You know, everybody uses a moisturizer. Almost everybody uses a moisturizer. We sell hundreds of millions, probably over $1 billion in moisturizers. Probably it's got to be in the billions, more than a billion. It's got to be multiple billions of dollars on moisturizers in this country. Almost everybody has dry skin. When I do talk sometimes, I'll say, how many people out have dry skin? Ask for people to raise their hands. And the entire room raises their hands. Everybody has dry skin. And they don't have dry skin when they're kids. Kids don't typically have dry skin. But everybody after a certain age has dry skin, and that in there lies a clue. Dry skin is a sign that something's wrong. And even worse, there's no such thing as a moisturizer. Just take the etymology of the word moisturizer, right? What does the word mean, moisturizer? What does that really mean? Something that puts moisture in your skin? Is that what it means? Well, what is moisture? Moisture is water. So you're going to say that you're going to put a moisturizer on your cream and that's going to put water in your skin? How does that happen? How does a concoction of oil and grease and wax and preservatives and water and silicon and all the things that are in a moisturizer, how does that deliver water to your skin? Well, of course, it doesn't deliver water to your skin. What it does is, number one, it will seal the surface to prevent what's called transepidermal water loss or water evaporation through the stratum corneum and thereby trap water. So it may do that. It may have a water trapping effect, but that's not really healthy. Your skin is dynamic. It's supposed to move and breathe. It's absorbing oxygen. You know, your skin literally absorbs oxygen from the environment. Even worse, when you have dry skin, you have a deficiency. And what is that deficiency? We have several deficiencies, but one of the major deficiencies is in moisture factors. Do you know your skin makes little molecular sponges that trap water from the environment? Literally, you'll walk in, you know, when you come from Miami to Colorado, right? Or come from New York to Colorado or Arizona, you'll from where it's humid climate to a dry climate, typically people will get really dry. Why? Because your skin has an ability to absorb ambient humidity. Not only that, but it's constantly reading the ambient humidity so that when the ambient humidity drops, you will make more sponges. That's called homeostasis. And I know you're a naturopath and you're steeped in the concept of homeostasis because the body is constantly adjusting. And alternative and naturopathic practitioners understand that leveraging this adjustment or understanding maladjustment is the key to taking care of the body in terms of health and disease. Well, likewise with the skin. The skin, from a homeostatic perspective, adjusts to low ambient humidity by making more moisture factors. But check this out. When you put a wax concoction called a cream or a lotion on your skin, you've now interfered with the skin's ability to read the environment. So now you've suppressed its ability to homeostatically adjust, which it's supposed to do. Not only that, but when you artificially put a barrier on the skin, an oil and wax concoction, lotion slash cream slash moisturizer on your skin, your moisture factors will downregulate. Your body will make less moisture factors because it doesn't see a need for it because you've sealed the surface. And then when your moisturizer wears off, now you're extra dry because you haven't adjusted. Your skin can't read the ambient humidity and it's downregulated. So then what do? Well, then you go get an even stronger moisturizer, so-called. And then you put that on your skin and, of course, you suppress it further. And this results for this phenomenon that most people know about called getting addicted to your moisturizer, where the more moisturizer you use, the drier your skin gets. And this is why everybody uses moisturizers, and this is why multiple billions of dollars, I don't know the number, but huge amounts of dollars are spent on moisturizers every year. And do you think a moisturizer company is going to tell you about that? You think they're going to rock the boat on that? And by the way, when I rocked the boat on that gravy train, that is, I don't know if you know this, but I learned how to do skincare by working for the Blistex Corporation when I was in pharmacy school. The guy who invented Blistex, the inventor of Blistex, was a professor at the School of Pharmacy that I went to, University of Colorado School of Pharmacy, Dr. Tony Jones. And I learned skincare by working for Dr. Jones. I was his research assistant for 4 years, and I was involved in making all kinds of Blistex products and studying the skin and learning about ingredients and testing products and going to the library and studying the lips, et cetera, and formulating it, the whole bit. That's how I got into the business. And guess what? This phenomena of your skin down-regulating moisture factors and getting addicted to your moisturizer or lotion or cream is well known for being dramatically a dramatic part of lip care. And this is why people get addicted to their chapstick and their lip medicine. There are people that walk around with chapstick all the time, and every hour they're putting chapstick or Blistex on their lips. I'm sure you know this, right? That's because the lips are sticking out from the face, and they're much more subject to environmental stressors and desiccation than the skin is because they're sticking outwards. So the lips are especially prone towards getting dry, especially under conditions of nutritional deficiency. And the down-regulating phenomena is one of the reasons why Blistex became a multi-million, billion-dollar business. And this is why people get addicted to their chapstick. The point I'm trying to make is that this idea of using a moisturizer on the skin is so counterproductive that it's, like you said earlier, blindingly obvious because we're all using moisturizers, but we all have dry skin. With all the moisturizers we're using, Dr. Selman, check this out. Nobody should ever have dry skin, right? Because we're all using moisturizers. Nobody should have dry skin. But the opposite is true. We all have dry skin and we're all using moisturizers. It's blindingly obvious that the strategy doesn't work. What's more important, and as blindingly obvious, is dry skin is a sign of deficiencies. If you stop eating or stop taking nutritional supplements or somehow are malnourished, one of the things that happens to you is your skin becomes dry and scaly. And this is especially true about fats and fat deficiencies. In fact, if you want to induce skin problems, a dry skin, sensitive skin, flaky skin, in a laboratory animal, you know what you do? You take essential fatty acids out of the diet. And that's one of the first things that will happen to that laboratory animal is they'll have skin issues, the same skin issues that human beings complain of en masse, dry skin, scaly skin, sensitive skin, et cetera. So number one, a moisturizer isn't going to do anything. And number two, if you have dry skin, you have an internal health problem that involves health, that involves nutrition and nutritional status. The skin is a fatty organ. It needs fats. Fats are very difficult to come by in the standard American diet. And by that, I mean good fats, quality fats. We get plenty of the wrong kinds of fats, but we don't get the quality fats. And the quality fats are going to be unprocessed fats, and they're going to be essential fats, that is specifically essential fatty acids as well as fatty vitamins. And you know what else you can throw into the mix here is malabsorption of fats. And that is if you have a gallbladder problem, you have a liver problem, you have an intestinal problem, pancreatic issue, stomach problem, if you don't have the correct bacterial population, dysbiosis, all of these can cause problems with fat absorption, and that too can lead to dry skin. So this silly, simplistic, really naive notion of just smearing a moisturizer on your a topical product on your skin called a moisturizer doesn't make sense superficially. It's blindingly obvious, and ultimately, it's not going to work, and it's going to deprive you of really making adjustments to your skin. It's going to make matters worse, and it's going to deprive you of really making adjustments to your skin that are going to help. That is nutritional supplementation, making sure that your digestive system is working as it should, and fortunately, using topical nutrients as well. And that's one of the neat things about the skin, is you can deliver nutrients, specific nutrients, not all nutrients, but certain nutrients, through the surface of the skin to the viable cells below.
Well, so that's a lot of information there, and I want to just focus on the nutritional deficiencies or the dysfunction going on. And first of all, I think important to understand that the fats we ingest, like the essential fatty acids that we can get through our food or through nutritional supplementation, actually are a way that our body is hydrated, right? I mean, essential fatty acids contribute to holding water.
Absolutely. Your cell membranes, this is kind of interesting, actually, and this is only something we've known over the last 20 years or so. Your cell membranes, the outside part of the cell, skin cells in particular, have little channels in them that absorb and pass water through them. It's called aquaporins. I don't know if you've heard of them, but we've only known about them for about 20 years.
Sure.
Yeah, so these aquaporins sit in the membrane. And the membrane itself is dependent on fats for its integrity and its fluidity. The cell membrane has to have a fluidy nature. And part of that fluidy nature is achieved through its essential fatty acids. That means if you don't have essential fatty acids, your cell membranes are going to be dysfunctional. Your aquaporins, which are the pores in those cell membranes, aren't going to be operating as effectively. So essential fatty acids play a major role in how a cell transports water within and without. Now, essential fatty acids also have a secondary role in that they're the molecules of inflammation and anti-inflammation. And inflammatory conditions will also disrupt skin chemistry and can induce all kinds of skin health challenges, including dryness. And then third of all, how well your hormones work. Your skin is constantly producing various hormones. Skin cells are constantly producing various hormones. And how well your hormones work depend on essential fatty acids. But it's not just essential fatty acids, Dr. Selman. It's also fatty vitamins, especially vitamins A and vitamin D and also vitamin E. Vitamin K is not quite as involved in skin cell health, although it plays a role in vascular health. So vitamins A, D, and E are incredibly important for the skin. And again, deficiencies in these vitamins are very common. And the recommended daily allowance doesn't help, because a lot of people are depending on the recommended daily allowance to get the amount of vitamins that they need. And if you are depending on the RDA, you're depending on what I call the ridiculous deficiency allowance, which is the amount of vitamins to keep you that's required to keep you ridiculously deprived of optimal health. You may be preventing night blindness by getting 2,500 units of vitamin A a day, which is what the RDA is, or 2,000 units, which is what the RDA is. But you're not going to have optimum vitamin A for keeping your skin cells healthy. Likewise with vitamin E and also with vitamin D. And by the way, the sun is really important for your skin, despite the fact that people are terrified of the sun. The sun's important for everything, for your entire health, for all health issues. So don't be afraid of the sun. And you want to hear another myth. I know we're I'm digressing a little bit. Here's another myth for you. The myth of the sunscreen. Sunscreens are nasty, nasty chemicals. And if anybody, healthcare professional, says, make sure you use the sunscreen, that's a health professional that needs to start studying some chemistry. When I was working with sunscreens in the pharmacy, I would wear a glove. I would wear gloves and a mask because I didn't want to touch or breathe them. Especially some of these, what they call oxybenzone and benzophenones, which are really nasty chemicals. And that's the same stuff they tell you to rub on your skin. And I'm making a distinction, Dr. Selman, between a sunscreen and a sunblock. Sunblocks can actually be good for you in the sense that they can actually help heal your skin. Sunscreens are never good for you unless you're going to burn, in which case wear your sunscreen and get it off your skin as fast as possible. You can see how there's tons of stuff here to talk about, right?
Yeah, I know. Okay, so I'm digressing in your direction as well. On the sunscreen, what about zinc ointment?
Yeah, zinc. Yeah, zinc oxide. That's the way to go.
So I want to go back to nutritional deficiencies because I think one of the things that – well, actually two things I want to say. Let's start with nutritional deficiencies because so much about dry skin – has to do with a hypothyroid condition. One of the symptoms of hypothyroidism is that it's not able to circulate, you know, your nutrition, your blood, your oxygen. It can lead to
everything.
Dryness.
Right? The thyroid channels energy to every one of the cells of your body. There's no such thing, Dr. Selman. There's no such thing as a chronic health challenge, whether it's as seemingly minor as dry skin or as major as type 2 diabetes. There's no such thing as a chronic or a cancer or heart disease for that matter. There's no such thing as a chronic health challenge. No such thing as a chronic health challenge that is not associated with hypothyroidism. Period. End of story. Bingo. You can take that to the bank. And this idea that you have to have your thyroid checked when you have heart disease or you have any other chronic long-term health challenge is silly. You can assume you have hypothyroidism. In fact, if you have anything going wrong with your body, just assume you're hypothyroid because the thyroid regulates everything. And there are so many links the thyroid has to our crappy way of living that it's inevitable that people are going to be hypothyroid and it's inevitable that people are going to have chronic diseases. So the adrenal glands are linked to the thyroid. And if you're under duress, you're going to have issues with your thyroid. The intestine is linked to the thyroid. So if you have dysbiosis, you're going to have problems with your thyroid. If you have autoimmune issues or leaky gut syndrome, you're going to have problems with the thyroid. If you have insulin issues, you're going to have problems with the thyroid. So if you have estrogen issues, you're going to have problems with the thyroid. So the thyroid is related to every other system in the body or many other systems in the body, both causally and as an effect. Hypothyroidism is an effect of systemic problems, yes. And it's a cause of systemic problems. It's like the bridge between the two. I call it the jumping off point to all chronic diseases. Have I told you about the triangle of disease? Have we talked about this?
Not in this conversation.
These are the three points that underlie all health challenges: digestive, blood sugar, and the adrenal thyroid complex or the adrenal thyroid axis. And I call that the triangle of disease. It's underneath that triangle or that triad of symptoms is underneath every health challenge we have, and the thyroid is the tip of the triangle and the jumping off point. So what happens is our digestive system breaks down early because of severe infections and breast milk or incomplete breastfeeding or problems mom has in developing a baby or food allergies the mom has. So babies are born predisposed to digestive problems. Then the standard American diet kicks in and the baby food, and, you know, there's all of these reasons why Americans are going to have everybody in the world is going to have digestive problems very early in life. That's what colic is. And then you go into problems with energy homeostasis and how we process energy. That leads to blood sugar problems. By the time a kid is a teenager, many of them, if not most, they're dealing with some sort of dysglycemia. And then from there, the adrenal glands get involved, and that there's a the adrenal thyroid axis relates to the thyroid, And from that point, the chronic diseases all ensue. I call that the triangle of disease, and the thyroid is the jumping off point. And to go back to your point about dry skin, yes, indeed, hypothyroidism and dry skin go hand in hand as well.
One other point I wanted to add, first of all, is when you talk about the healthy fats, the omegas, you know, and that's where if people are able to have fatty fish, you get that naturally mm-hmm. from those foods or mm-hmm. even from grass-fed beef. But, you know, you can get the supplements that are essential fatty acids. The other essential
yes.
fatty – it's not an essential fatty acid, but the other fat vitamin or you know, healthy fat that I use is an omega-7 product, because I learned many
oh, yeah.
years ago that omega-7 is really important for helping to
yes.
plump up the membranes of the cells. And
absolutely. Palmitto oleic acid.
Yeah. So I don't
yes,
think people
absolutely.
Know a lot about omega-7s.
Nobody.
In their,
no, you don't hear about omega-7s at all, actually, until
yeah.
very recently. I only heard about it myself until maybe about 10 or 15 years ago. Did you hear about it before then, palmitto oleic
acid? Yeah, I had an interview with a company that was promoting it. I think I learned about it at one, you know, the Expo West events, and I was
uh-huh.
really fascinated about all the research, and I've been taking them ever since. So I take them daily. I take them daily.
Sea buckthorn.
Essential fatty acids. Yes. Yes. Really good.
Sea buckthorn oil? Is that what you
yes.
use? Yes. Sea buckthorn
yep.
oil. Yeah.
Yep.
Palmitto oleic acid is definitely important. It's not essential, like omega-6 and – or I should say, you know, omega-6 and omega-3 are kind of weird terms, because there's lots of omega-6s and there's lots of omega-3s. Those just refer to the chemical structure. But there's one omega-6 called linoleic acid, and one omega-3 called alpha-linolenic acid. That's the technical name. And those are essential, meaning they're like air. If you don't have them, you're dead. So that makes them exquisitely important. Now, there are a couple omega-3s that are found in fish oil called DHA and EPA. I'm sure you've heard of those. And DHA and EPA, a lot of people will say, and probably you run into this too, you'll say, oh, you should make sure you're taking essential fatty acids. And they'll go, oh, yeah, I take fish oil. No, fish oil does not have essential fatty acids. Fish oil has fatty acids, it has omega-3 fatty acids, but it doesn't have alpha-linolenic or linoleic acid in them. So you're not going to get your essential fatty acids from fish oil. You'll get omega-3s. And this distinction between omega-3s and fatty acids and essential fatty acids is very confusing, but it's really very important that we understand it so that we can supplement correctly. And that's one of the big problems with supplementing, is it's such a confusing issue. We don't really, you know, it seems like a big mess if you don't understand biochemistry, and in a way it is, but it really is vital that we understand at least the basics.
Well, how do you get those linoleic and linolenic?
Well, yeah. So linoleic acid, which is an omega-6 essential fatty acid, is found ubiquitously in foods. It's found, it's the main essential fatty acid in the body and in the skin by far. Very important for skin health. It's found in grains, most of the oil, nuts. It's found in most of the foods that we eat today, corn and soy and sunflower oil and almond oil, and found really ubiquitously. It's the omega-3s that are really hard to find. In fact, omega-6 essential fatty acid, linoleic acid, is found so ubiquitously that there are actually some well-meaning nutritionists who say not to worry about it, because you get it from the corn oil and you get it from the safflower oil and the sunflower oil that we're all eating. But the problem is, we cook our corn oil and we cook our safflower oil and we cook our sunflower oil and we cook our oils, and cooking destroys essential fatty acids. They're very, very unstable, incredibly unstable. They break down really quickly. So most people, even though they're eating the foods that should contain linoleic acid, omega-6 essential fatty acid, really aren't getting enough of that either. And considering the fact that you need more of that than you do omega-3 or alpha-linolenic acid, it's really important that you supplement with it, as well as supplementing with a flaxseed oil, which is my favorite way to get omega-3, alpha-linolenic acid. Chia seeds are also a good source. Hemp seeds are also a good source, mostly found in seeds. Sprouts, by the way, are a really good source of omega fatty acids. And green leafy vegetables also. People don't realize this, but green leafy vegetables are also a good source of essential fatty acids, and even omega-3, hard to find omega-3 essential fatty acids. So eat your greens, eat your sprouts, do flax seeds. Flax seeds are one of the all-time great, and I mean all-time great foods for people to eat, grinding them up. Do you know 30% of flax seeds is protein? If you grind up your flax seeds, it's the best protein powder there is. You're laughing because you probably say the same thing, I'm sure.
No, I'm laughing because I actually am a chia seed fan. I am not.
Oh, you like chia?
I like chia. I've written a book about chia. I got to learn a lot
about
it. Yes, I did. And, they're just, it's highly nutritious, but more easily absorbed than flax seeds, which,
It doesn't have the same insoluble fiber. It has the soluble fiber, but I think the flax have more insoluble fiber than the chia.
But they're all good. I mean, the point is
they're all good.
They're all good.
No, they're all good. And I love hemp seeds, too, but they're a little hard to find.
So let's go back to the skin, some of the myths. So, okay, we don't want to use a moisturizer. You're pretty clear on
myth
that.
Myth of the moisturizer.
That's just going to, it's not going use to really moisturize
vitamins.
The skin. Okay,
use topical
vitamins.
Topical vitamins,
so,
especially topical
and
fatty.
I just want to go, in the moisturizer category, it's also the eye creams. You don't like eye creams either, right? Because they're just part of the same.
That's another.
It's like a marketing strategy.
Yes, it's a marketing strategy. You know, here's the thing about skin, right? And this is true about the body in general. We don't make a distinction between the cells and the stuff. I love that you're Dr. Selman, right? Because I love the cell. I honor the cell. Life is about the cell. But we think, when we're sick, all we see is the stuff that comes out of the cells. When we see osteoporosis, we don't think of the osteocytes, we think of the bone. You follow me? When we see liver disease, we don't think of the hepatocyte, we think of the liver. When we think of the thyroid gland, we don't think of the thyrocyte, we think of the thyroid. We don't think of the myocyte, we think of the muscle, and we don't think of the keratinocyte or the fibroblast, we think of the skin. See what I'm saying? So that's why we think we can rub something on the surface and just be done with it. It doesn't work that way. You've got to get to the skin cell. And the cell lives down below. It lives, relatively speaking, deep down below compared to what the organ is. Now, here's the thing. You don't have a foot skin cell. You don't have a hand skin cell. You don't have a nose skin cell. You don't have an eye skin cell. You don't have a butt skin cell. You just have a skin cell. It's the same on your foot or your butt or your hand or your eye or your chin or your nose or your cheek. It's the same cell. So if you have a product that's really addressing the cell, right, it doesn't matter where that cell is. You can use a foot cream on your eye if you're addressing the cell. But because we don't see it as a cellular issue, we think, oh, I need a cream for my eye. I need a cream for my lips. I need a cream for my cheeks. I need a cream for my neck. I need a cream for my foot. I need a cream for my hand. See what I'm saying? It's about the cell. It's not about the foot or the butt or the nose or the chin or the cheek or the eye. So if you have an eye, if you have a cream that's working at the cell, you can use it everywhere. And the cream, the topical ingredients, I don't want to say products or creams or lotions, but the topical ingredients that work at the level of the skin cell, there's not a lot of them. You can't just put any topical nutrient on the surface of the skin and expect it to get down to the cell and have an effect at the cell. But there are two that do, two vitamins, that is. And that is vitamin A and vitamin C. And those, if your skincare program is not leveraging and taking advantage of vitamin A and vitamin C, you're completely missing the boat on skin cell health. On the other hand, if you don't use anything else and all you use is vitamin A and vitamin C as a topical product, you'll be using the best topical products that you could ever put on your skin, on your face, or anywhere else on your body.
Well, so that's really important. You want to really nourish those skin cells. So what you're saying is give them the specific vitamins. And what specific form? I mean,
good question. Great question. That's a great question. That's a very, very important question. Not all vitamin C works that way. Not all vitamin A will work as effectively. There are some forms of vitamin A that will work better than others. So let's take – I really highlight vitamin A and C because those are really the two most important and most profoundly effective topical vitamins that you could put on the skin to get skin cell effects. You can put them – that's kind of miraculous when you think about it. In the case of both vitamin A and vitamin C, you can actually put vitamin A and vitamin C on the surface of the skin in the right forms, which I'll talk about here in a second, and they will not only migrate to the lower levels where the living cells, the viable cells reside, as in the lower levels, but they will actually, check this out, they'll actually go into the genetics of those cells and change the genes. They will trigger genetic activity. You can actually change your very genetics of the your skin cell genetics. You can actually turn on the growth of the activation of proteins at the genetic level by using topical ingredients, using topical CNA correctly. Now, I say correctly because your point's well taken. What are the forms? And that's really important because nowadays there are some companies who will take advantage of the fact that these two vitamins are so incredibly valuable upon topical application, but they won't tell you about the forms. And the forms matter. Not all forms work. So in the case of vitamin C, the standard form of vitamin C, the most popular form and the most widely used form, is called ascorbic acid, which, you know, everybody's heard of course, ascorbic acid. Ascorbic acid the term ascorbic is derived from the word scurvy. Ascorbic means without scurvy. And that's because ascorbic acid is a molecule that has been shown to prevent scurvy. It's been shown that scurvy is really vitamin C or ascorbic acid deficiency. So vitamin C or ascorbic acid is used ubiquitously for people who want to make sure that they're getting enough vitamin C inside their body or who want to make sure that they don't get scurvy or as a treatment for scurvy, which, you know, fortunately we don't have these days, but it used to be the most horrific killer there is. Scurvy, you know, most people think that there's no such thing as scurvy anymore. You know, it's kind of been relegated to the history books. Scurvy is a disease that's marked by the deterioration of a part of the body called the connective tissue. The connective tissue is the most important part of the body because it connects everything together. It sticks all the stuff together. There's a lot of reasons why the connective tissue is important. The connective tissue is actually an information processing system like a computer. It actually conducts information from head to toe, and because of the connective tissue's ability to conduct information from head to toe, you can think you want to wiggle your little toe, and a split second later, your little toe wiggles. And that's because the information goes from your brain to your foot, to your toe, almost instantaneously via this connective tissue information processing system. Also, the nerves are involved. The nervous system is involved there as well. There's four main tissues in the body. Tissues are like the stuff that the body's made of. You have the connective and the muscle tissue, and they're all kind of wrapped together. That's your steak. If you look at steak, that's connective tissue and muscle tissue, right? If you ever see the body's exhibit, you know what I'm talking about with the body's
mm-hmm.
exhibit?
Mm-hmm.
The body's,
yes,
right? So if you look at the body's exhibit, you can see that that's a person. You can't see what the person looks like, but you can see it's a person, right? You know it's not a cow, or you know it's not a dog, or you know it's not a tree. You know it's a person. Because most of us is connective and muscle tissue, and the body's exhibit is the connective and muscle tissue. That's what you're looking at. It's our robot, our flesh robot. And then the whole thing is covered up with what's called epithelial tissue, and that's what gives us our features. You know, you can, when you put the epithelial tissue, then all of a sudden you see who the person is. And then the whole thing is electrically wired with nervous tissue. And that's what makes us up. Nervous tissue, epithelial tissue, and then our flesh robot, which is our muscle and connective tissue. Well, everything we hate about aging, from the wrinkly neck that you talked about, to the wrinkles, to the osteoporosis, to the heart disease, to the ruptures and hernias, to the osteoarthritis, to the swelling and joint problems, to the hunched over appearance that older folks have, to the weakness in the ability to move. All of those are signs of connective tissue deterioration. That's the sine qua non. The essence of aging is deterioration of the connective tissue. What's more, all the cells that we talked about earlier, how important the cells are, they're all fed through the connective tissue. And what's more, they're all detoxified through the connective tissue. And what's more, they're all respirated through the connective tissue. So when the connective tissue starts to suffer, everything suffers. And what does this have to do with vitamin C? Vitamin C is the key that turns on the machinery of connective tissue synthesis. Scurvy is deterioration of connective tissue. Scurvy, all of the signs of scurvy, people say, oh, we don't have scurvy anymore. Oh, yeah? Well, all of the signs of aging are scurvy. Aging is subclinical scurvy. It's the same thing. All of the things that we hate about getting old are connected to tissue deterioration, which is exactly the same as vitamin C deficiency. And considering that most of us don't get anywhere near the vitamin C we need because of the ridiculous deprivation allowance, which says all you need is 100 milligrams of vitamin C so you don't drop dead of a disease, because most of us aren't getting anywhere near the vitamin C we need, we're accelerating our aging process much too fast. And one of the most important nutritional supplements you could take is vitamin C. And when you take it internally, you can take ascorbic acid. That's great. And ascorbic acid without scurvy is literally the cure for scurvy. And if you understand that scurvy is aging, it's, I don't want to say it's the cure for aging because there's a lot of other things that are involved, but it can certainly help slow down the aging process. However, ascorbic acid has some problems associated with it that aren't an issue when you take it internally, but are an issue when you use it topically. Because you see, ascorbic acid is very reactive. It breaks down very quickly. It breaks down in the presence of oxygen, and it breaks down in the presence of water. This isn't an issue when you take a capsule or a powder or a pill or when you eat it in fruit or in whatever food you're eating. That's not an issue. But it is an issue if you're trying to put it on in a skincare product. Because if it's in a skincare product, number one, it's going to be exposed to water in the skincare product, and it's going to break down in the product. And number two, it's going to be exposed to oxygen when it's on your skin, and it's going to break down in the presence of air or oxygen. And number three, the skin's surface is a barrier to water. It's supposed to prevent anything that's watery or water-soluble from getting through. That's why you don't turn into a puddle at the bottom of the bathtub every time you take a shower, because the water beads off of your skin. But just like the water beads off of your skin, so will the water-soluble ingredients, like ascorbic acid. So while ascorbic acid is fine to take internally, that form of vitamin C, the water-soluble, unstable form of vitamin C is fine to take internally, topically, it's a waste of money, number one, because it's not going to penetrate through the skin surface, and number two, because it oxidizes so readily, it can actually be counterproductive. It can actually induce oxidation on your skin. It can induce aging on your skin. So not only is it not going to get through your skin very effectively, and not only does it turn brown inside the bottle, there's a lot of very expensive vitamin C products that turn brown right inside the bottle, they oxidize, but even worse, it's going to accelerate or potentially accelerate your skin's oxidation as well. So what's the solution? The solution is, because vitamin C is important, right? So what's the solution? Fat-soluble vitamin C, fatty vitamin C. And it's hard to find fatty vitamin C, but it's the only kind I formulate with. And when I formulate with it, I formulate with high concentrations of fat-soluble vitamin C, and it never breaks down. It lasts forever in the bottle. And it, unlike water-soluble vitamin C, which is repelled by the stratum corneum, the skin surface, fat-soluble vitamin C penetrates effectively. And bonus, because it's non-acidic, you can put fat-soluble vitamin C right on a burn or a cut and have it accelerate the healing of that burn and the cut, because that's what vitamin C does. It stimulates the production of connective tissue, which accelerates healing, which you can't do with ascorbic acid. So your point is very well taken. Vitamin C is critical for the skin, but the form has to be taken, has to be understood, has to be leveraged, and that is fat-soluble vitamin C. Fat-soluble vitamin C, by the way, goes by the name ascorbyl tetraisopalmitate, or ascorbyl palmitate, or, get ready for this, tetrahexyldecyl ascorbate, THDA, you can abbreviate that for short. I know that's a mouthful, but
that's what a pharmacist does.
That's what we do. That's what we do. Yes, that's true. But it's important that you know that if you're going to get, because you're going to spend $150 on some vitamin C products, and they're not going to do anything for you.
Yeah. No, that's so profound. That's great. So, okay, let's move on, because I want to make sure we touch, you know, many bases here. So,
well, let me just throw this out real quick.
Vitamin C. Okay.
Yes, and then vitamin A. I don't want to – I'll let you control this, because I can go on forever, and I don't want to do that. So just I'll just mention this. Retinol and retinoic acid are the two most important forms of vitamin A.
And vitamin A has been used for people dealing with acne for so many years. That was one of the key
Correct.
Vitamins that helps to
yes.
heal the skin
yes.
from acne. So,
and this,
you
and
know,
check this out. The same mechanism that vitamin A has for addressing acne, it uses for addressing cancer. And vitamin A is actually chemotherapy for cancers.
Hmm. For skin cancer.
Check that out. No, lung cancer. And also skin cancer. Yeah, also,
huh.
But no, cancer in general. Because check this out. You're going to love this, I know, because this is right up your alley here. How a cell divides and grows is tightly regulated. And hypertrophy or hyperproliferation, that is cells growing and dividing too rapidly, is actually more of a problem than cells not dividing rapidly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the body uses braking mechanisms to put the brakes on hyperproliferation and hypergrowth. Hypergrowth and hyperproliferation are controlled by nutrients. Nutrients act as braking mechanisms. In fact, the default state of a cell is to grow. The default state. The braking mechanism requires energy and work. And under conditions of deficiency, the braking mechanism isn't present and cells hyperproliferate. This is what cancer is. It's hyperproliferation and hyperdivision, hypergrowth. And how a cell grows and divides, in its, the steps it takes cell, a cell takes, specifically a skin cell, takes in growing and dividing is biologically termed differentiation, because the cell is taking different shapes as it grows and divides. This is especially dramatic in the case of the skin cell, which starts its life at the bottom of the skin, round and plump and juicy, and migrates to the top, taking on different steps, differentiating until it reaches a terminal step, an end step at the skin surface. So it's moving upwards from the bottom to the top and taking it on a different shape as it's moving. And that differentiation process is controlled by vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have acne, what's happening is your cells inside a follicle are dividing too fast, out of control. They're differentiating chaotically. And this is what causes acne. This is one of the steps in the formation of a pimple, is cells that are hyperproliferating inside a follicle. Well, that same differentiation dysfunction or differentiation disorder occurs in psoriasis. It occurs in eczema. It also occurs in some of the signs of skin aging, like thinning skin. So we find that vitamin A, by its ability to control its fundamental cell process differentiation, can be used for acne. It can be used for thinning skin. It can be used for psoriasis. It can be used for eczema. And it can be used for skin cancers, especially pre-skin cancers. And that's what makes retin A, which is the active form of vitamin A, which is, a cream that contains the active form of vitamin A, so darn important. Because it could be used for all of these things, because it controls this fundamental mechanism. Now, I like retinol, which is not quite as strong as retinoic acid, because retinol is available over the counter. You don't need a prescription for it, and that's why it's one of the mainstays. It's one of my flagship ingredients that I work with all the time, and we have several retinol products, and they're incredibly important for anti-aging, among other things.
Well, that's great information, very profound. We're going to talk about your range in a minute, but I want to make sure we cover a couple other issues that I know comes up for people. So those nasty discolorations, like the sunspots,
yes.
I don't know, liver spots,
yes.
whatever they're called,
well,
what are they, and what's the proper name,
well,
what do you
good.
Do about them?
Okay, great question. In fact, just before I did this talk, this interview with you, I did a Facebook Live where that was my subject, actually, this melasma. So there's melasma is the collective term for the blotchy spots that people get on their skin. But there's a different kind of blotchy spot that gets confused with melasma. Melasma is skin pigment. It's melanin. There's another pigment. It's not really a pigment. It's more like cellular debris that accumulates as we get older and as we get sick, and especially accumulates in our hands, sometimes in the feet, in various parts of the body. We call those age spots or liver spots. Those are not the same as hyperpigmentation, but they get treated the same, unfortunately. And when people try to treat these, the cell debris, which is usually is deeper than the pigment, which is usually a sign of accumulation of toxicity in cell debris, as if it was pigment, nothing happens. And those are people who say, I use all these skin lighteners and I had all these procedures and nothing helped my dark spots. That's because it wasn't pigment, it was lipofuscin. Have you ever heard of that term, lipofuscin?
Mm-hmm.
Lipofuscin is the dark cell debris that builds up when we don't clean out our bodies. It involves a clogged up lymphatic system and poor detoxification and accumulation of toxicity and cells dying off fast, which occurs as we age, or cell parts dying off fast, which occurs as we age. So there's a lot of reasons for that, but the point is you're not going to be able to help that topically because that's occurring deep down in the skin. It's not a skin problem. It's a tissue problem. And so what that necessitates is detoxification strategies, liver health strategies, lymphatic drainage, and such. Now, the other kind of pigment, or the other kind of dark spot, is based in pigment, and that is specifically the pigment that's called melanin. Now, when melanin is operating and melanization is operating as it should, you get tan, and that's what happens when you're young. Young kids don't get dark spots. They don't get blotchy spots. When something happens to older folks but doesn't happen to kids, you can rest assured that's associated with toxicity and aging. And that's what happens as we get older. Our melanin starts to become dysfunctional. Melanization, the process of melanization, doesn't occur in a healthy, normal fashion. Then you have to say, what is it that causes the melanization? Or the blotchy melanization. People will say the sun. This is the most common culprit. The poor Mr. Sun, all it wants to do is love and nourish us, and we demonize it. And we treat it like it's just this terrible thing that's in the sky that we wish it would go away. Well, guess what? It's not the sun that's causing it. What's causing it? Chemical, i.e. hormonal imbalances. This is what causes melasma and hyperpigmentation, especially stress hormones. Melanin and melanization are part of the stress response biochemical system. In fact, adrenaline gets converted into melanin. The same biochemical pathway that makes melanin makes adrenaline. And nothing,
wow.
Yeah, exactly. The molecule is very similar. Not only that, but cortisol, which is long-term, adrenaline is short-term stress hormone,
mm-hmm.
Or emergency hormone, cortisol long-term, cortisol will also stimulate pigmentation. How many people, mm-hmm. How many of your patients, Dr. Selman, do you think are hypercortisol? Right?
Yeah, well,
okay.
A high percentage.
Right?
Yep.
A high percentage. Those are the ones
right.
You know about. I venture to say, you know, older folks are notorious for not being able to sleep, and that's because of cortisol. So everybody's hypercortisol. And then on top of all that, there's another stress hormone that we make that, you know, we know most people know about adrenaline and cortisol, but this third stress hormone, people don't even regard it as a stress hormone, but it is. You know what it's called?
Insulin.
No, but that's another factor too. I'll get to that in a minute. Estrogen. Estrogen.
Yes.
Estrogen is also a stress hormone, and what's worse, when estrogen is not metabolized correctly, that is, you have a liver problem or intestinal problem or a bowel problem, guess what's happening? You're not eliminating your estrogen, and it's turning into extra strong estrogen called catechol estrogen. Catechol estrogens are super high-powered estrogens that accumulate when we're not detoxifying estrogen at the level of the liver, we're not eliminating it at the level of the bowels, or if we're deficient in progesterone, or if we're just making a lot of estrogen. So estrogen is the third problem, or catechol estrogens are the third hormone, that's the third issue, in addition to adrenaline and cortisol, that are also involved in pigmentation. So the key to keeping your pigmentation down is to reduce stress. And by stress, I don't just mean your dysfunctional relationships or your job or, you know, your credit card bills. I'm talking about physiologic stress, hypoxia, inflammation, insulin, like you said earlier, hypoglycemia, cortisol, estrogen, all of these need to be controlled to control melasma. Now, the reason this is important, what I just said, and it's not so everybody remembers every little detail, although they should because it's all important, it's to say that the simplistic idea we have about the skin doesn't serve us if we want to keep our skin healthy. So if we don't make this association between melanin and estrogen and insulin and stress and the liver and the intestine and bowel movements and blah, 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 all of these things, and our pigment, we're going to be going to the doctor and getting hydroquinone and getting skin peels. Our pigment's going to come back. We're going to be dissatisfied. This is the case. This is how we operate in the world of skincare. Everybody is dissatisfied because nothing helps, because nobody's making this connection. You follow what I'm saying? Nobody's
yes.
relating your bowel movements to your pigment.
Yes.
They're all saying, use this cream. Now, there are some topical things you could do, but more importantly, if you don't address it at the causal level, you're going to be stuck using your topical strategies for the rest of your life. And even more importantly is you're going to be depriving yourself of an opportunity to save yourself from further health misery down the road and shorten longevity as well. You know, you see what I'm saying? If you don't see your melanization as an estrogen problem or cortisol problem or insulin problem or liver problem or bowel problem, or, you know, you had too much stress in your life, you're not breathing enough and all of these things, and you're just trying to use a topical strategy, you're missing a golden opportunity to
yes,
save yourself from cancer.
So, I mean, the important message is that it's a symptom of underlying imbalance
yes.
and dysfunction that
yes.
has to be addressed and naturally.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a whole other conversation that we really should have in another time. But because we're coming to the end of our conversation, which, can you believe, went so rapidly, let's talk about the products that you have formulated, because
yes.
I have been so impressed with the quality and purity. And, you know, and as a pharmacist and a researcher into cosmetics, you've gotten to the bottom line of what's really important and works. So let's talk about
yes.
that. We only have a couple of minutes, and I want to give people
okay, so real quick,
the link. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Real quick. I had a compounding pharmacy for many years where I made topical products for people who had skin problems. So I would create problems for people who had eczema or psoriasis or who wanted to prevent post-surgical scarring. And when I would make these products for individual people, invariably they would come back and their skin would be more beautiful and they'd want to keep staying on the product that I was making for their acne or their, even though they didn't have acne anymore, or I was making for their, to prevent scarring after surgery, even though they were past their surgery, they still want to use the product because it was making their skin, these products were making their skin look so beautiful. And what I was doing was I was using ingredients and strategies that were healing the skin. So they would come in after they had a burn or they were going to go through surgery or they had a skin health problem. I'd make a healing product for them and it would make the skin more beautiful. And it dawned on me that everything we want in a beauty product comes from healing. And the reason beauty products don't work and cosmetic products don't work is because they don't heal the skin. So I got this idea.
So Ben,
yes.
I don't want to cut you off, but because I only have a couple of minutes left, I want people to go to your website, which is truthtreatment.com, because so much information is there. People want to know more about the protocols and the products you have. That's where they need to go. I also want them to know that you've been really kind and are offering a coupon code if people want to try, and you've got some sample products. The code is Selman for my name, 10, and you'll get 10% off. Because what has impressed me the most about what you do, Ben, is not only the purity of what you do and the integrity in which you do it, but you have put together the most effective, natural ways to truly feed and nourish the skin. And that's what this whole conversation is about. That's what I wanted to know for myself and to understand and appreciate, and I think you've done a
Thank
great
you.
Job in, you know, letting us
Thank
know
you.
There are solutions. But you got to find the real deal if you truly want results.
Yeah, and here, let me just say one last thing. All my products, one of the keys to the effectiveness of my products is I took all the baloney out of the product. I took the silicone, the oil, the water, the preservatives, nothing. I took everything out that didn't do something for your skin, which means you've got to use very small concentrations, like one or two drops of my Truth Transdermal Sea Serum, perfect dose size spoon of which is a 16th of a teaspoonful of our Truth Transdermal Sea Balm. And we recommend everything be blended with our biomimetic mineral mist, which is minerals for the skin, and then massaged in well, because remember, you're trying to get below the stratum corneum. You're trying to get into the lower levels of the skin where those cells
are. And Ben, we're about to end right now. So people want to learn more, get in touch with truthtreatments.com. I know you want to go on, but the show is going to cut me off. So
thank you,
Ben Fuchs. Thanks for all of you listening. And remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.